also John 8 and Romans 8. In Leviticus 25, we'll read verses 8 through verse 13. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow, set apart, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. John 8, verse 36. Jesus speaking, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Each of these passages address the subject of liberty or freedom. They speak of 3 different aspects of liberty or freedom. In Leviticus chapter 25, you have an earthly or physical freedom. John 8, verse 36, there is a spiritual freedom found in Christ. And in Romans 8, verse 21, there is a heavenly or perfect freedom. Liberty and freedom. Those are words that have a joyful and hopeful sound to them. Liberty and freedom. Those are wonderful and blessed states to be in. Those are words that have an impact upon our lives if we're in the state of liberty and freedom. Back in Leviticus chapter 25, it speaks of what is known in the Old Testament as the year of Jubilee. By way of background to the year of Jubilee, we see much of it here in this chapter. Every 7 days, of course, was a Sabbath day, a day of rest. Every 7 years was a Sabbath year. And that is addressed in verses 3 through verse 7. After every 7 Sabbath years, every 50th year, there was a very special year, a year of Jubilee. From verse 9, we see that this Jubilee was announced by the sound, no doubt the joyful sound, of a trumpet throughout the land. And this occurred on the 10th day of the 7th month. It just so happened to be the Day of Atonement, the day when the Old Testament priest offered sacrifice for the release from sins. What it pictures is that a price was paid for that liberty. Following the announcement of the Jubilee, there was freedom for all who were slaves, for all who were held captive. There was release. That is, debts were canceled. There was restoration of what had been lost, stolen, or forfeited. And there was favor. That is, they received the provision of the Lord in their fields. The thought conveyed in the year of Jubilee was emancipation, was restoration. It is liberty. And again, in Leviticus 25, this liberty has a price. So, this year of Jubilee spoken of here in Leviticus 25, it was earthly. It was a physical liberty, but it was marked by jubilation, joy, elation. But more importantly, this year of Jubilee was a type. It's a type. It's a type of a greater liberty in Christ, which we read in John 8, verse 36. I want to speak this morning on the jubilation of liberty. In Leviticus 25, imagine the jubilation, especially if you were a slave or if you had debt. Imagine the jubilation that went through the land when that trumpet sounded, marking the beginning of the Jubilee. In this message, we want to consider these three aspects of liberty that our text verses address. First of all, there is an earthly or physical liberty. As you look at these, in the order in which we look, we see that it just keeps getting better and better. Our entire lives have been lived in a country of freedom. Every one of us, our entire lives. And I'm thankful and I rejoice to be a citizen of what has been arguably the greatest civilization in human history. I mean, that argument could be made. Not so much today, but throughout history. Our history as a nation begins with European colonialism. We all know that European settlers came to this land really beginning 1400s, 1492. Many came merely to increase their wealth, to increase their power. Many came to escape religious persecution. But as these people came, colonies were formed. And by the mid-1760s, Britain began taxing these colonies, which of course was met with much heated protest among many of the colonists. They resented their lack of representation in Parliament. Taxation without representation. We know all about that today. And they demanded the same rights as other British subjects. Most of the clergy at that time were denouncing the king and calling for non-submission to Britain. By 1773, there were 13 colonies. Remember, you had to, well, most of us had to memorize those in school. In April, or by 1775, tensions were building. 1774, the colony sent delegates to Philadelphia, and there was formed the First Continental Congress. And by 1775, these tensions are building. They've been building for more than a decade. And there was beginning to be some armed conflicts between the colonists and troops from Britain. In 1775, I believe April, the British troops advanced on Concord, Massachusetts. And really that would mark the unofficial beginning of the Revolutionary War. The colonies would again send delegates to Philadelphia. This became known the Second Continental Congress. And for almost a year, they tried to work out their differences with England. Many during that time were calling for 100% independence, a revolt from Britain. Many of the clergy leading in that. By 1776, in June, their efforts had become hopeless. So they formed a committee to compose a formal declaration of independence. And on July 2nd, 1776, the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a complete separation from England. July 4th, they formally adopted the Declaration of Independence. 4 days later, they would take that document and they would read it aloud from the steps of Independence Hall, proclaiming liberty to the city of Philadelphia. And afterwards would ring the Liberty Bell. And inscribed on that bell are the words of Leviticus 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And today, the United States has been blessed as the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world. And it's all of God. It's no accident. God's blessing has been upon this land. 241 years ago, the nation, by the grace of God, was born. And God, in His gracious providence, saw fit that you and I would be born and raised in the United States of America. That ought to cause great jubilation. Again, it's no accident. In Acts 17, if we turn there, Acts 17, verse 26, we learn an important lesson, one that we need to keep in mind. And he hath made of one blood, that's Adam, he hath made of one blood all nations of men, to dwell on all the face of the earth. Okay, so he's talking about nations. Hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. From that verse, we learn that God appoints the season of every nation from start to finish. God has already appointed the bounds. God made the United States a great nation. And our national heritage is a precious gift. It is a gift from God. The physical freedom that we enjoy is a gift from God. We have enjoyed this freedom all of our lives. It's something that we can see now, should never, ever be taken for granted. Wherever there is freedom, there are enemies to that freedom. And our country is filled with enemies to freedom. We all know that. That's not the point of the message. We do not know what it is like to be under the power of a cruel dictatorship. We have no idea. We don't know what it's like to live in fear of our lives. Yes, we are concerned about freedoms that are eroding away. But as of yet, we have not had to live in fear of our lives. We've been blessed. Nor do we know what it's like to have enemy armies in the streets. All of our lives have been lived in the enjoyment of freedom. The freedom to pursue our goals, to come and go, to worship the God of all. We are blessed to live in a nation of freedom. We have been blessed of God. Now, this week, July 4th, has, of course, been set aside not only a day where we're to be thankful for national freedom, and most will grill and have picnics and all of that and give very little thought of the freedom to do so. It also means that we're to reflect upon what it cost. Freedom always has a price. Again, the year of Jubilee was announced on the day of the atonement. There is a price. In the United States, since the Revolutionary War, which began in 1775, since the Revolutionary War has paid a dear cost for not only our own freedom, but for the freedom of many other nations as well. Over 1 million killed, over 3 million wounded, over 38,000 still missing in action. A price has been paid. But again, that's not our whole purpose today. But the freedom that we enjoy nationally has not been cheap. A sacrifice has been paid. And wherever there's freedom, there must be responsibility as well. That's true of us as citizens. And wherever there is freedom, there ought to be a sense of joy. There ought to be a jubilation that we are free. There ought to be a gratitude. The jubilation of liberty. But that brings us to even a better freedom. There is a spiritual freedom. Now, the history of the world, of course, is filled with terrible and horrific atrocities of nations and rulers. The history of the world is marked by numerous genocides and oppressions of all sorts. But these aren't the greatest bondages and oppressions. The most widespread, the greatest, the cruelest, the most powerful, the most terrible and oppressive, and the most dreadful, and the most consequential bondage or enslavement in the world is bondage to sin, bondage to Satan, bondage to the flesh. It is a bondage that every one of us was born into. Everyone born since Adam has been born into this bondage. It is a bondage that binds and enslaves every faculty of man. So bound, so enslaved, that it is said in Proverbs 5:22 that man is holden with cords of his sins. Holden, bound with the cords of sins. And most citizens of this country, though they have a national freedom, they are in bondage. A bondage far worse than any national bondage. A bondage that, again, enslaves every faculty of their being. It is an enslavement to the darkness and the power of sin. A darkness, a bondage that will not allow man to see and will not allow him to understand his real need and will not allow him to come to God and will not allow him to please the Lord. Everyone is born into this world imprisoned, shackled in the grasp, the binding power of spiritual death, of sin, and Satan. And there is no crueler taskmaster anywhere. Everyone born into this world is held. Held in the mire, held in the depths of darkness and ignorance and enmity and error and bankruptcy and guilt and final condemnation. Those who are so enslaved live their lives under the power and under the control of the defilement and the vileness and the profanity and the infection of sin. The shackles and the chains of this enslavement are beyond description. There's not enough words in the human language to describe this bondage. No slavery. No bondage more dismal, more disabling, more degrading, or more shameful than the enslavement everyone is born into. Enslavement to sin. That being said, there is a liberty that has been declared. Again, in Leviticus 25 and verse 10, we read of a liberty to be proclaimed. That was a physical liberty, however it does picture a greater liberty. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Jubilee. He is the Jubilee. Jesus in Luke 4:18 at the outset of his ministry. He's in the synagogue and he stood up and he read Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. Declaring that he was anointed and sent of God to bind up the brokenhearted, the desolate, the devastated, the miserable, the wretched, the sorrowful, and the downcast. And he was anointed and sent of God to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to them that are bound, them that are chained, them that are detained in this horrible prison of sin. And again in our text in John 8 verse 36, we hear Jesus say, "If the Son therefore shall make you free," notice who it is that makes you free, "you shall be free indeed." You can't set yourself free from the bondage you were born into. But if the Son shall make you free, again, you see, Jesus Christ is the Jubilee. He is the God-ordained rescuer from the enslavement that we have spoken of. As such, he has access to the prison of sin. And he alone can overtake and get past all of Satan's guards. If you're here today and you've never been set free from your sin, you are in a prison cell and you are heavily guarded by Satan. But there is one who has been sent of God. And he has access into your prison cell. And he can overtake. And he can get past all of Satan's guards. And he can unhinge the iron gates. And he can break the holding and binding power of sin. And he can raise the condemned sinner. He can bring and he can lift the helpless sinner from under the terrible crushing weight of sin and death. He can bring you out of the depths of unrighteousness and wickedness, out of the depths of alienation from God and darkness and enmity. He can bring you out of the bankruptcy and the condemnation of sin. He has been anointed. He has been sent of God to deliver and free the guilty and condemned sinner. To free them from the destruction of sin. To free them from the loss of sin. And sin brings loss. To free them from the misery of sin. to free them from the curse of the law and the hand of divine justice. Jesus Christ has been anointed and sent of God to miraculously transform the lives of captives. Oh, how we ought to thank God. Oh, the jubilation that there is a Savior, that there is an Emancipator, that there is one who can fix the heart and the life. Now in our text in Leviticus 25, in relation to the year of Jubilee, debts were canceled. There is no greater debt today than the sin debt. It is a debt that you cannot pay. It is a debt that you cannot get a loan for. There is no statute of limitations concerning this debt of sin. Someone must pay the debt. Someone has paid the debt. So debts were canceled. There was forgiveness. There was rest. There was restoration. In other words, in the year of Jubilee, things were reset the way they should be. That's what happens when God saves a soul. Things are reset the way they should be. Can you imagine the jubilation that went through the land? One glorious day, you and I that are saved, we experienced a jubilee far greater than what we read in Leviticus 25. But there we were, estranged from God. Remember those days? Strange from God, without God, without Christ, living our lives under the dominion of Satan, living in the realm and under the power of darkness. And we were lovers of darkness. We were deceived. We were ignorant. We were blind. We were hardened. We were at enmity with God. We were criminals against God. And we continued to strive against the Lord, living in absolute defiance of Almighty God. Rejecting Him at every turn. We were unrighteous. We were ungodly. We were unprofitable. We were bankrupt. We were lost. And whether we knew it or not, we were fleeing from God. Helplessly trapped under the weight of sin. By the way, if you're here without Christ, this is a description of you today. And sinking deeper and deeper into the contamination and the foulness of sin. Securely held by the chains and the shackles. I can remember as a little child, Awana clubs. Repeat this prayer. And I can remember as a little child repeating that prayer, but you know what? That prayer didn't break a single chain. not one. It still doesn't today. Our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being was ensnared in the power of sin. And what happened to us is what has to happen to you if you're still in that prison. Jesus came into our prison. He came into our prison. And He didn't give us a list of do's and don'ts, but He broke the holding power of sin. He did it. And having broke the holding power of sin, He raised us up from a spiritual grave. Raised us up from under the crushing weight of sin and death. He came right where we were. And He imparted life unto our dead souls. A change took place. And He rescued us from the filthy mire in the awful depths of sin. We are taken out of that horrific hole of sin. And what a horrific hole it is. And there are some sitting here right now. You live in a horrific hole. Oh, you think that you live at whatever your address is. But you live in a horrific hole of sin. And unless Jesus comes into your prison and does His work, that's where you'll die. Not only were we taken out of that horrific hole, but we were taken into the blessings of salvation. And all of this took place while we were abominable to God, while we were unacceptable in His sight, while we were His enemies and rebelling against Him. That's when it took place. Don't be deceived into thinking today if you live in this hole of sin, well, I've got to get better first. God comes to the sinner while they're in their abominable state. You can't get better. You can't break those chains. Jesus came to me when I wanted absolutely nothing to do with Him. Absolutely nothing. And He came. He walked into our prison cell. He made us free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Oh, the jubilation that ought to be ours for you and I that are saved. It ought to fill our hearts with enthusiasm and joy and thanksgiving and praise ought to flow out of our lips. I'm saved. Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I have liberty. How can we contain the jubilation of such? So here we are. We enjoy national freedom. But you know what? You can live in a free land and die and go to hell. You can live in an enslaved nation and be saved and go to heaven. So yes, we rejoice in national freedom, but that's not what it's all about. There is a greater spiritual freedom. And I am free, free in Jesus Christ. Free indeed. And that brings us to an even greater liberty for the child of God. Spoken of in Romans 8:21 has the glorious liberty of the children of God. The word glorious means magnificent, illustrious. It's that which excels all others. Yes, we have a glorious freedom in Jesus Christ. But there is even another freedom that excels that. Oh, the jubilation that ought to be ours. In the text in Leviticus 25, those who had lost property or had incurred debts or had been sold into slavery, imagine their anticipation as they listened. They knew the seven Sabbath years had ended, 49 years. The 50th year has come. And they knew in that 50th year is liberty. And all the anticipation as they listened for the sound of that trumpet. We too are listening for the sound of a trumpet. But here we are, set free by Christ. And it's wonderful. But we live in a world in which there are numerous enemies and traps, all kinds of enticements, all kinds of struggles and battles and obstacles. But there's coming a day. A day of glorious liberty. We have been set free by Christ, but we still experience some storms and some raging rivers, and there are some floods, and there are some fires that we have to go through, but there's coming a glorious liberty for all those who have been set free by Christ. Set free by Christ, yet we live in a world where we live under the influence of needs and burdens, and difficulties. There are problems. There's sorrows, there's heartaches, there's trials, there are pressures of all sorts. We can find ourselves in a state of confusion and anxiety. Life knows disappointments, but there's coming a day. For all those who have been set free in Christ, there's coming a day of glorious liberty. We've been set free by Christ, we that are saved. But we live in bodies that are in a process of decay. Weak bodies. Bodies subject to sickness and disease. But there's coming a glorious day. There's coming a glorious liberty which will be delivered from these bodies. We read in Romans 8, verse 18 of the sufferings of this present time. And in the same verse, there's a few words in between, we read the glory which shall be revealed. one day, as a child of God, we're going to walk out of the sufferings of the present time and into the glory which shall be revealed. A glory, a glorious liberty from the very presence of sin. A liberty from the appearance of sin. A liberty from the inclination of sin. A liberty from all the effects of sin. Oh, how we ought to live in jubilant anticipation of that liberty. And all the jubilation that will be ours when we step to the other side. Read the book of Revelation. You see the saints of God in a state of jubilation. So you and I, we've been blessed. We've been blessed to live our entire lives up to this point. Because it can change. In a country of freedom. That's a blessing. But there may be some here. You know that blessing. And you ought to thank God for such. But you don't know the blessing of freedom. Set free by Christ. For you and I, they're saved. Not only do we live and have had the privilege by God's providence to live in the greatest nation that the world has ever known, but we've been set free by Jesus Christ from the prison house of sin. And because of that, even a greater liberty awaits us. Had a wonderful life. Live in a free land. Have freedom in Christ. And have even a greater freedom coming. Oh, the jubilation of a people that has been set free. How thankful we ought to be. Again, if you're here today, without Jesus Christ, I pray that the Spirit of God would open your eyes, cause you to see the bondage that you're in. Cause you to realize that there is only one who can set you free. And that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. We will be glad to talk to you. There are many people here. We'd be glad to talk to you about your soul, about your need of Christ. But there is not a one of us here that can set you free. Only Christ can set you free. And we're not going to try and convince you that you've been set free when you haven't. Let me tell you something. When He sets you free, you'll know it. Nobody will have to tell you that it's taken place. You will know it. And what a wonderful, glorious truth to know. I've been set free by Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.